So before I start, there's a few things that I need to catch you guys up on, because I don't know where everybody is, and I want you to be on par with my thought process. So if you're not sure who Jesus is, he's God. He created everything. He spoke. Light began. All matter was formed. He's the master of the universe, the beginning of time. That's who he is. He's also incarnate. He's the one who came into the world as a man, lived a perfect, sinless life, then sacrificed himself and washed us clean with his blood. What a wonderful sacrifice. He conquered death, rose back to life, and then ascended to heaven. So that's his very quick life in a nutshell. When the physical man, God, Jesus, ascended, he did not leave us alone. He sent someone who could be omnipresent throughout the world, but still uphold all the values and embodies everything who Jesus and God are and who also is God. This one is the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit's present everywhere we are, wherever we go. He's in the earth. He's replaced the physical Jesus. He's come and he's with us now. He hasn't replaced him. He is him, just in a different form, just to clarify. Jesus also made a way to graft us into his family. So essentially, adopting those who meet him, believe in who he is, fall in love with him, and through love and relationship, follow him. He's allowed us to be his children, and he has become our daddy. That's what you need to know before we begin. So I'm just going to read Romans 11:36, and this is just a little bit more context. For everything comes from him and exists by his power and is intended for his glory. All glory to him forever. Amen. If you exist, it's for the glory of God. If something else exists, it's for the glory of God. If you think it's about you, you're probably wrong. So my title is tea. It's T-E-A, the drink. I was going to call it honey in the tea bag, but other people might have thought that might have led to some innuendos, and we won't go there. So, anyway, last week, Asher, my son, my third son, asked me for some tea. So the little beggar has developed a liking for tea. I don't know where he got it from, but he just likes tea. And once in a while, he'll, out of the blue, just go, "Dad, give me some tea." Okay. So anyway, because I love my son, and I like to give him good things, especially when he asks so nicely and cute, and I love him. So I decided to make him tea. At that moment, in this moment here last week, I felt the Spirit of God tell me he was about to show me some truth. And I thought, okay, well, let's bring it on. So just to bring some clarification to that notion, or motion, or whatever, the Spirit of the Lord is omnipresent, like we said earlier. John 14:15-17, Jesus said, "If you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you." So I know Jesus. I know he's around. I feel him. I recognize him. And so he's the Holy Spirit, and he's able to prompt me when I'm making tea for my son. So that's how a simple act of love for my son while listening to the Spirit of God can reveal truth in a preach. So let's begin. Got the cup out, the kettle, filled it with water, turned the heat on, put it on the stove. It's boiling, or it's starting to boil. And at this time, Asher, who was growing a bit impatient with me, said, "Okay, give me the tea now." But he can't, talk properly, so it's more like, "I'll take the tea now." So then I'm thinking, okay, I'd like to, but I can't because it's just hot water at the moment. It's just a bunch of hot water. So being slightly more intelligent than a three-year-old, who shouldn't give a three-year-old a cup of hot water, I told him no. I didn't really say anything else, seeing my son was being impatient and didn't understand that the tea was just a mug of hot water. I suppose I could have given it to him, but at that moment, he requested it, but he would have been very disappointed. I proceeded to take out the tea bag, and I placed it into the mug of hot water. Again, Asher, a little bit more enthusiastically, said to me, "Okay, it's ready. Give me the tea now." And yeah, again, he said, "Okay, it's ready. Tea now." but you know, I still didn't. At this point, he looked a little confused and was obviously annoyed. You know, he's getting frustrated. Like, it's been like 5.5 minutes. That's, you know, 1/8 of his entire existence. But, you know, what else is there to do? Well, being an adult who's slightly more intelligent than a 3-year-old, I knew that 3-year-olds usually don't like tea unless there's a flavor to it and that there's a bit of honey in it. So I steeped it. And again, he asked me, "Okay, give me the tea now." And I said, "No, I can't give you the tea. It's not ready." And so now he thinks I'm not ever going to make him tea. He thinks that it's all over, that it's just taking too long, that, you know, his life is ruined and whatever else goes on inside his mind. He's got a very small capacity, I'm sure. But anyway, so I added the honey and I stirred it in. Okay, now it's ready. I handed it to my son, where he very happily took a couple gulps, said yummy, and ran away to play, completely satisfied with the tea that was made for him, and unaware of the important process it took to make the yummy tea. So, are you guys getting it a little bit? I still felt like God was showing me something. So in this moment, I'm like telling the story, it seems a little bit more obvious, but while I'm sitting there in the moment, you kind of have to take a step back, wait on God, and see what he was saying. And so I began to pray and ask Jesus what he wanted to show me. Right away, he said, "You are like Asher, and I am like you, the Father. I desire to give you good things. When you ask for something that's good, my heart goes out to you, and I want to see you blessed. But if I give it to you immediately before it's fully prepared, you'll be met with a bland result, something that accomplishes nothing. If you try to take it before it's ready, you might end up with a cup of hot water, no substance, unenjoyable, and then wonder why I would give you something so plain." So if we go back to Romans, the scripture that says everything is intended for the glory of God, when God is preparing something for us, and when God is giving us something, ultimately, it's to bring glory to him through whatever it is he wants to give us, through whatever it is he wants to put in our lives. I'll get through the process a little bit further down, but so I ask the question, you know, why would you give me something so plain? Why would you give me something so unfinished? And his answer was, "I didn't give you something so plain. You took it before it was finished." You know, this is really relevant for me because right now, in the time of life that I'm going through, I'm feeling like I'm waiting. I'm waiting for God to pour out his blessing or his will or something on my life to usher it in to greatness, you know, whatever it may be, just completion and understanding. And I'm waiting for that. I'm waiting to get through this time. And I'm wondering, God, did you forget me? Are you ever going to give me that tea? Are you ever going to give me the desire of my heart? And his answers were, "I'm preparing it." So he said, I also didn't forget to give you what you asked for, however it is being prepared for you. You become impatient with me and ask me, God, can I have it now? Can I have it now? Can I have it now? And what about now? God, why aren't you giving it to me yet? Why am I still stuck here? And then we begin to believe that God is not going to give us anything. And we get discouraged. And doubt settles in. Man, we're fragile. We truly are toddlers. We take scriptures like John 14:14, which says, "Ask for anything in my name and I'll give it to you." But forget that one verse ahead, in John 13:14, God has purpose for giving us things. In fact, let's look at it. It says, you can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Have we forgotten why we're here? It's for the glory of God. Yes, we enjoy the things God gives us, but if he gives us something, isn't it so that he brings glory to himself? Through the observations others make about those things we receive from our Heavenly Father. Do you think if we took an unfinished work that God was preparing for us, he would receive the glory? Let's go back to T. If I told people, my dad's a good dad. In fact, he's an awesome dad. He knows I love tea, and he makes the best tea ever. It's yummy, and it's delicious. It's wonderful. It's going to be sweet and perfectly made. And then when, you know, the hot water's poured into the mug, I grab the cup, and I'm like, yeah, I got the tea. You know, I didn't wait for the process to be finished. I took the tea. Do you think others might be curious what that best, amazing tea tastes like? Well, yeah, they are going to be. They're going to want to know what it tastes like. And because we know we're called to share, and we learn that in kindergarten and then throughout the rest of our life, that we more than likely, if we're wanting others to be a part of this, we'll let them try it. Then when they try the tea, what do you think the reaction is going to be? It's just a cup of hot water. Well, they're going to think your dad drank the Kool-Aid, and you have no idea what tea is supposed to taste like. And they're going to run away from you and avoid you. And you have done a major injustice to your dad. What I said about my dad was true. He does make the best tea. But I took it before it was prepared for me because I wanted something for myself ahead of schedule. Instead of being able to share the goodness my father actually would give me, I've turned him into a farce. I've driven people away from the goodness they could have received if I would have waited patiently and let him finish his work. I'm reminded of when Kenny was here, and he would tell people, sometimes we just have to duck and let God take care of it. Sometimes we just have to wait and let God take care of it. He's doing a process. We don't see it. We live in the three dimensions we live in, and you know, God doesn't. He can see everything. So how can we promote God? How can we promote God, who he says he is? How can we bring glory to God for the things we ask for if we end up taking it into our own hands and botching the process? Sometimes we need to realize that we need to patiently wait and trust that God is a good father, that he knows what will bless us, he knows what will be the best, and if we get out of the way and let God be a good father, he will end up with the best results. Often it's our own will, our own mind, our own desires that jump in front of the will of God. And we run ahead with it, and we go ahead and do our own thing. Even if we may have heard something from God previously, we may have heard what to do, we skip it. We decide, I'm going to take this into my own hands and run ahead quickly, and I'm going to decide the outcome. Then we miss, and we don't have the perfect, most best reward that God has for us. He knows what's going to bless us. I could have given Asher a plain tea with the bag after it was steeped, like some people drink it. But I know that he enjoys it much better, and he wouldn't like it at all if it was flavorless. So God knows what else to add into what he's creating, what he's giving. Ecclesiastes 3:11. Yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart, but even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. We are limited. We can't see what God is doing, and he's made everything for his own time. Luke 11:12, you fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? What he's saying there is, as people, as fathers, mothers, whatever, we know how to give gifts to our kids. We know how to love them. We're imperfect. We sin. We screw up all the time. We don't have it together. But we still express love to our children. No. We still express love to our children because God's put that love inside us and goes towards us. So how much more is God, a perfect God, who loves us dearly, how much more is he able to give us good things, to give us what we need for our walk, for our faith? He does, but we don't see it and we don't believe it. And so we impatiently walk ahead when we could very patiently trust in God and wait for and believe that God is good, holy, loving, and just. The other possibility is maybe we aren't getting what we want or have asked for because he needs to prepare us first. Perhaps he is teaching us patience, or maybe trust, faith, or endurance. Maybe we think our lives are falling apart. Maybe we've run into some suffering. The Word of God says to count these things as joy because trials and tests of your faith produce patience in you. James 1:2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. These are all things God desires to give us, and often the wait for something is the very procedure in which he uses to give us the something that we are waiting for. It actually comes off a little bit more confusing than I intended it to. In other words, sometimes we desire something, and God knows what we need, and he wants to give it to us. And the giving is actually the process that it takes us to get there. So he's developing endurance in your life. He's developing patience in your life. He's developing long-suffering, or whatever else the case might be. He's developing you to be able to bring glory to himself down the road. And in doing that, your life comes into order. Your life shapes up. And that is ultimately what we desire. Sometimes we ask for something. We don't know how we're going to get it. God, fix my life. God, I'm screwed up. Help me with my direction. And he puts us through a process which adjusts who we are. And the result is our lives get fixed once we begin to bring glory to God. Our lives begin to have purpose once we begin to give glory to God because he's worked those things in us that require time. And they require whatever else he knows, honey, the tea bag, the hot water. God's timing is perfect. He's not forgotten about you. He's not punishing you by withholding something. Sometimes I talk to people and I get the notion that they think God is punishing them or that God is out to get them. but the opposite is true. He's preparing you for blessing. He's preparing your hearts for blessing. He's not punishing you, although he allows you to go through pain and he allows you to go through sufferings. His heart is the heart of a good father. His heart is the heart of a good daddy that loves his kids. When we have kids, do we sometimes discipline them? Yeah, you bet, because they're little rotten sinners. But we got to know. We're doing it so that they end up on the right path down the road. That's what we believe when we discipline our kids. We want them to be the model citizen. No, not really. But we want them to know the Lord and to love him, to be able to be a good example and to walk in faith and into the future. And so we discipline them when they are going off so that they are careful to come back. God's the same way. He's not punishing you. The Bible promises that we will endure many trials. It's not all easy and flowers and good feelings. It's a tough walk. It is. It's going to cost you your life. But it's to bring glory to God, and you have exceeding joy when you walk into that. It's just wonderful. It means you still have a good Father in heaven who knows what you will enjoy, what you need, and what will bless you and bring glory to himself. And he is faithfully preparing it for you. Trust him, be patient, believe that he is a good father. You know, that's essentially the message. I felt that we needed to just simply look back at and realize who God is, how much he loves us, and realized that I just felt like it was a time where people are going through phases in their life. Some of them seem longer, some of them seem more devastating than normal. And that God would say, be patient, believe in me, build relationship with me, love me, know who I am, let me adjust you, let me speak into your life, let me heal you, let me do my process, let me give you a good thing, and then enjoy it, and let it bring glory to me. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We hope you enjoyed it. Feel free to share this message with others, but please do not alter or change it in any way without express written consent from the Rock Christian Community.